now we want to talk about the principle called Kofin al Midas Sdom, because of course we have the Parsha of Sdom coming up on Shabbos, Parshas Vayera. I would like to start with a little bit of an overview as to what's included under this concept of Kofin al Midas Sdom. And it's basically a sugya in two places, in Bava Kama and in Bava Basra. And it deals with a sugya called Zeh Nehneh V'zeh Lo Choser, which means that Reuven is going to benefit from Shimon at no loss whatsoever to Shimon. Let me give you a couple of cases. Let's say I go into a hotel and I want to enjoy the lobby, and the owner of the hotel wants to object, even though he doesn't lose anything by it. So on the one hand, I'm not a guest in the hotel. I'm not paying, you know, I'm not paying him anything. But on the other hand, he's not losing anything. There's certain cases where you can get on a public bus or a train and go for a free ride. No one's losing anything, but yet you're not paying. Another case, for example, let's say you own airspace. It means that you have a porch and you own the airspace. I'm a neighbor and I want to build out my porch in such a way that it doesn't have any impact on your enjoyment. I don't block out your light or your air in any way whatsoever. Can I force you to allow me, to permit me to use that airspace and claim it's midas sdom, meaning you don't lose anything by it? Or do you have a right to object and say, you know what, I own that airspace and you have to pay me for it? I'm just giving you a couple of, yeah, Joe?
I'm sorry, I just want to clarify, in each one of those cases, there is a certain cost, right? The car, the bus is using up more gas, the person in the lobby, more people are congregating in it, doesn't look as nice to everybody else. Is that considered not losing something? Or
right, no. That's called Zeh Nehneh V'zeh Choser, all your case. My case is Zeh Nehneh V'zeh Lo Choser, where the owner suffers no loss whatsoever.
Absolutely not. Okay, the cases weren't exactly.
Yeah. Another case is, for example, let's say I want to transport goods, but I have to cross through your backyard, through your chatzer, and you lose nothing by my doing so. Another case is that there's something called, this is very popular here in Israel, called shetach mishutaf. You have many partners in one area, and the other neighbors have no partnership. And let's say you have a gina that's common to a number of the neighbors, but other neighbors don't own anything. In Tabu, which is the official land registry, they don't own it. Can they force the other neighbors to allow them to use that property if lo chaser, if they're losing absolutely nothing? Now, before we get into some of these questions, which is called Kofin al Midas Sdom Zenen of Zolo Chaser, I want to begin with the Mishnah in Avos. The Mishnah says in Masechta Avos, and if you are able to print out the first four pages of this shir, then you will see on the top of your page one, in the fifth parak in Avos, Arba Midos B'Adam. There are different types of interrelationships and attributes within man. Some say, HaOmer, Shali, Shali, V'Shalcha, Shalcha. You know, mine is mine, and yours is yours. That sounds reasonable. Zo Mida Beinonis. According to the first opinion, you know, again, it's not, you know, you're not a chassid, you're not offering from your possessions to him. You know, what's mine is mine. But on the other hand, you're not sticking your hand into his possessions and enjoying it. Shalcha, Shalcha. I respect and recognize your rights. That's a Mida Beinonis. That's the average guy. He's not the great chassid, he's not magnanimous, but on the other hand, he's not stealing from anyone. The yesh omrim, and that's what I want to call your attention to, zo midas sdom. That this is a very negative midah. And if this personifies the meat of Sdom, we come to the conclusion that Sdom is going to be destroyed because of this attitude of Shali Shali and Shalcha Shalcha. So the first question I want to raise with you today is, Nicha, if you hold it's a Midah Beinonis, you know, this is your average Midah, it's not too extreme in one way or the other, that I can understand. But to call this a Midah Beinonis, and to explain, I'm sorry, but to call this a Midah Sdom, and to say that because I say what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours, therefore I'm displaying the attributes of Sdom, and this is the essence of Sdom for which they deserve destruction, that would seem very strange. The Torah says and testifies in this week's parash about Sdom, Sheheim Roim Vechatoim Yod, very evil sinners. And why would this Midah be typical of sinners? It would seem more to be appropriate that this is the average kind of attitude of most people, and yet the punishment is so severe. Now, I want to mention to you that about 4+ centuries ago, there was a super commentary on the Chumash, which is called the Akedas Yitzchak. It's written, authored by Rabbi Yitzchak Arma, and he is the only one, to my knowledge, who really addresses this question of Shali Shali, Shalcha Shalcha, what is the lack of morality here, and what is the guilt? And in this shiur that I pointed out to you, there are 13 pages. I asked you only to pull out the first 4 pages because I was chas al mamonim shel Yisrael. But in the 13th page of these Mar Makomos, the Akedas Yitzchak begins this presentation by saying the following. Shali shali shalcha shalcha hiskimu ha-mefarshim ki ha-mida hazos hi nikreis mida beinonis. The general accepted opinion is that this is a mida beinonis. He's rachok me'atov, but he's also rachok me'ara. Heyos al-mida shali shali, that's not going to be very conducive to a mida tova, because yimna mikiyuma mitzvahs, he will not be lavish about mitzvahs. Like, for example, matanis levyonim, you know, he's not going to give much money for the poor people, or halvos. He's not going to be magdish so many ekdeshos, because any mitzvah that has chisar and kiss that cost him in his pocketbook, you know, he's very stingy, he's very tight-fisted, shali shali. On the other hand, when it comes to averos, he is not guilty of averos because shalcha shalcha. Eino over al gezel, and he gives a whole list of averos over here. And therefore the first opinion of the Mishnah in Avos is that this dea, this attitude of shali shali shalcha shalcha, is typical of man. But then the second dea says, yesh omrim zumi the stone. And on stone he quotes the pasuk, kizeh avon stone, that Sdom is guilty of very severe averos. But now he quotes a pasuk in Yechezkel HaNovi. Yechezkel HaNovi in Perek Tezayin says about Sdom, Yad Ani V'Evyon Lo Hichzika, that the people of Sdom were not interested in sharing their possessions with the poor. Is Lefi Zeh? He says the following, why is Yechezkel attacking Sdom and characterizing it because they don't feed the poor? Pela hadavar, he says, Pela miod, al mishpat anshei Sdom, that the judgment of Sdom is to be destroyed, kemosha nizkar, as it's mentioned in the Torah. And yet, according to the majority opinion, if Sdom is guilty of not supporting the poor, hu asher nikra b'fi chachamim mida beinonis, this is typical of most people. You know, it's the Midah Beinonis of those who, on the one hand, are very respectful to other people's possessions, but they're not very magnanimous in giving about their own. They won't support the poor, but that's the Midah Beinonis. It's neither Ra nor Tov. It's right down the middle. Is why would the Anoshim HaMachzikim in Midah Beinonis, why are they considered guilty Because Yad Ha'ani Ve'evyon Lo'chzika, and they like stone, testifies Yechezkel will be destroyed. So just to summarize the problem here, it's very difficult to typify stone by Shali Shali V'shalcha Shalcha, or the way Yechezkel says Yad Ha'evyon Lo'chzika, and then therefore justify the divine decision to destroy it. Says the Akedas Yitzchak, and again his language is very difficult, I'm going to try the best I can to present it. Hine be'emes, chatas dom ubnoseha, lo kihem chatu logak bechet hataiva bilva. They were guilty not only of taiva, meaning we know about the chatoim of stone, that they were very lustful people, and it reached levels of immorality that are that are even beyond what we normally consider as sexual immorality. It was worse than that. But he says that that's not enough. That that sin is only part of the story. He says, "Aval yesh lahem chukim." They have laws. They legislate. They consider evil, what we know to be evil laws, they classify them as good laws. Within their legal system, there are rules that incur, if they're violated, very severe punishments. Ve'ayikar asher shmo kol magamosam kidei lishmar mamonam betachlis hashmira. And the purpose of these legislated laws is in order to go to the extreme of guaranteeing shali shali. So the midah of shali shali is not just the attitude of, let's say, stinginess, and a person is frugal and he's unwilling to part with his possessions and share them with others, but it goes way beyond that. It's legislated into the very essence of their system that no one should in any way undermine the principle of shali shali. Shali shali now not only becomes an attitude, it becomes a law. And therefore, b'toras das v'nimus, it becomes a rule that shali shali, what's mine is mine. Don't you even dare think of taking anything or enjoying any benefits from mine. V'afilu b'zeh nene v'zeh no chaser, even if I, as the owner, lose nothing when you encroach or benefit from my property. V'al kach amru chachamim kofin osal midas dom. Why? Because once they made it into legislation, into nimus, that a person, they became so extreme that a person who violates this law and shares of his own possessions with others is a rasha, that crosses all bounds. That takes evil and makes it into law. And they consider it respectable that we should punish someone because he violates the attitude of shali shali. Now, again, I've only given you the tip of the iceberg for our purposes. Again, it's a very, very long piece, as you can see. But at least it gives us, I would say, a segue into our discussion for today, which is primarily halachic. And it's as if to say that Sdom in the parasha has to be understood in the light of the Akedas Yitzchak as being a society that legislates evil into the very fabric of their legal system. And that's what we have to understand about Parsha Sdom, according to the Akedas Yitzchak and the divine decision. We know that Chazal described what they did to punish individuals who would take in guests into their homes. Very cruel punishments, which we're not going to go into. But what I'm more interested in for today is at least to get some sort of a flavor for this halachic concept of kofen al midas dom. Our legal system is based on morality, on the laws of goodness and compassion and ethics. To what extent can we take the law and bring it to the other extreme? to undermine the Midah Stom and to, in a sense, force a person to allow others to enjoy his possessions if he loses nothing in the interaction. So now I'd like you to open up to page 1 of your Mar Makomos. We've seen already the Mishnah in Avos. And now we want to see the halachic sources in the Gemara. And we're going to start with Baba Basra, Daf, Yud Beis, Amud Beis. The Gemara says the following. There's a concept, which you'll see on the bottom of the Daf, called Bar Metzra. Bar Metzra means that my land borders on a certain strip of property. And the Gemara says the following, that if two people come to buy your land, and they both are vying, let's assume at the same price, one of them says, I have a Bar Metzra. Okay, I have a field that's contiguous to the field that you're selling. And obviously I will gain immensely from expanding my land in that way. So the Gemara says that Medina de Bar Metzra, I can force you to sell it to me rather than someone else. Again, if there are no other priorities and variables. And then the Gemara says that, let's say, for example, a father and a son are neighbors, meaning the father has a field and the son owns a field right next door, contiguous. There are many other brothers. The father dies. And now the question is how to divvy up the Yerusha. And the Gemara says that one brother has the right of a Bar Metzra to claim that it's no difference to you, you'll get other possessions, we'll divide everything fair and square, but I will inherit that particular land because it borders on my land. Amar Rabba, kigon ze kofin al midas sdom. That we can force him to either divvy up the Yerusha in that way, satisfying the claim, or to sell it to that person. And Rashi adds here 5 words. Almidas dom, says Rashi, ze nene vizelo choser. No one is losing by it. There are other fields that you can buy, or there are other fields or possessions that you can inherit. Unless you have a claim that you will lose by this, then kofin al midas dom. The question is, and that's what I want to show you in Tosfos on the right side of your page, Dibar Maskel Kigon, can we extend this Gemara to a case of Tashlume Nezikin? What do I mean? The laws of Dini Mamanus, which as you know, are codified in Choshen Mishpat, divide up in one, there are many ways of dividing them up, but one particular classification is to differentiate between the laws of Mechira and Yerusha on the one hand, and the laws of Nezikin on the other hand. The first set of laws deal with questions about selling or divvying up a Yerusha. We're not dealing with any act in which somebody damaged somebody else. Somebody confiscated possessions of someone else. But then we get into the laws of Nezikin. So take, for example, if I own a house and I could rent out that house, right now I'm not doing anything with it, or I own a chatzer, and now you decide that since I'm not using it, you want to use it for your purposes. Now it's not just Mechira and Yerusha, now you're actually, Bekumvase, actively taking my possession. You're squatting in my land. So we'll soon see, Amir Tashem, that that's a sugyan baba kama. And there are many different variables that come into play. For example, could he have rented it? Or the person who squats, would he have paid rent to somebody else? There are different variables. But what's interesting here about Tosfos, Dibra Maskel Kigon, is that Tosfos takes the principle of Kofin Al Midas Dom, and he applies it to the laws of Tashlumin Ezekiel. And therefore, if you'll see in the part that's underlined, in the name of the Ritzvah, who's one of the Baalei Tosfos, the Hadiyomar Rabba Kofin. He says, Lomi din Torah Ka'amar, this is not a Doraisa, this is a Takonis Chachamim. So the first Chiddush in Tosfos, and this is a major, major machlokes amongst the Rishonim as to whether Kofin Almidas Tom is Doraisa or Drabbanon, he takes the position that it's Drabbanon. But then, take a look the way he says it. He says, the Bedin, according to the Doraisa Halacha, Yachol Limchos Kishekenegdo, Dika Kpeda Baruchos Kida'amar Bekama Duchti. In other words, according to the strict letter of the law, if not for the Takonis Chachamim, says the Ritzvah, there would be no Kofin Al Midas Tom, because a person could always claim that, you know what, there's a difference between this field and that field. This one is located here, and even if I'm not a Bar Metzra, I wanted to buy this field, I wanted to inherit this field. According to the Torah law, he could always come up with an argument in his favor, which is called Kpeda Baruchos. This is a sugya in the second parak of Kiddushin. I think we once discussed this, or if not, maybe it was with the Kol in Toronto. We had a sugya called Kpeda Baruchos. Kpeda Baruchos means it's north, south. I want the field in the north. I get more sun in the north. I get more light in the north, less wind. Whatever it might be, I come up with some argument. But the Rabbanan said that that's meaningless. That doesn't hold a candle to the Bar Metzra claim. The Ode, but this is now I'm getting to the punchline. The Ode, Had the Kofin Al Midas Tom, Bezen Enev Ezelo Chaser, Hainu Bishekfar Dar Bechotzer Chavero, She'eno Malalo Schar. Aval hop shita she yachol limchos po she yikones lodur bebeso vi afilu bechotze delo kaima leigra vi gavra delo ovid lemegar da havile zenene vizelo chos. Okay, there's a lot there in Tosfos. I don't know if you followed all the intricate phrases and terminologies that Tosfos employs here, but basically Tosfos is talking about the case that I described before, that I squat in your chatzer, in your bayis, because you're not using it. And it's a chatzer de lo kaima liagra. It's a case of a chatzer or a bayis that's not omed l'schar, meaning it's not on the renting market. You know, if you have an apartment you want to put up for rent, you know, you put it on the internet. You know, you publicize it. This one is not being publicized, not being presented for rental purposes. That's called lo kaima liagra. It's not omed l'schar, for rental. And not only that, but it's a gavra delo ovid lemegar. The person who's squatting there would not be able to afford renting an apartment. And therefore, from both positions, that of the maskir and that of the socher, it's zen enev is a lo chaser. I'm not losing anything by your living in my field, because I wasn't going to rent this field. I had no intention to do so. On the other hand, you're not taking any great gain of it. You're not gaining anything great, because in any event, you aren't going to pay rental, so you're not saving yourself any rental. The hana is what you call intangible. It's not something that you can give. You can give a price tag to it. Not from the Balabayas' position. He's not taking any loss. And not only that, there's no financial gain from the perspective of the one who's squatting, as we call the dar b'chatzer chavero. But this is a case of nezikin. Clearly this is a case where the squatter is confiscating the property of the owner. Tosfos says that would we apply the principle of kofin al midas tom, or would we not? And Tosfos says it all depends. If Reuven is coming to Shimon's field or into his house, his chotzer, and he says to Shimon, I have rights to live there because you're not renting it, then there's no principle of kofin al midas tom. Shimon, the owner, has a right to say, thanks but no thanks, buddy. I'm going to block you, shali, shali, v'shalcha, shalcha. When does midas tom apply, says Tosfos? If Reuven lived in Shimon's house, let's say Shimon was away, and now Shimon comes back, lo and behold, he finds Reuven squatting there, and now he wants to force Reuven to pay him. That's called Zen Enev Zalochas. That's Kofin Al Midas Tom. So again, this, what do you say? Yechiel, say it a little loud, I'm sorry.
What was I saying? That situation, Reuven just moves in.
Moves no in?
Color of right, nothing.
No rights whatsoever, but she...
That's not me to stomp.
Oh, so that's what Tosfos says. It all depends. And we're going to see this in the Gemara Bava Kamma, the way Tosfos understands the Gemara Bava Kamma. Not everyone's going to agree. I know that you, Yechiel, are not going to agree. But let's see the way the Gemara says it according to Tosfos.
Wear and tear on the house.
No, oh, okay.
Using the water.
Okay,
using
good.
Electricity.
Excellent, excellent. You're right. That's going to be a definite case, you know, in favor of neutralizing and vitiating the principle of Kofen al Midas Stom. But we're talking about a situation, and again, we'll see the way the Gemara develops it, Lina, there. And if we don't see it today, I'll owe you it for another shiur. Is that Shimon, the owner of the property, loses nothing. That's the case. Let's say it's a chatzer, and the chatzer doesn't have any water, doesn't have electricity, you know, he's not blocking him from any kind of use. And not only that, the owner of the chatzer himself was not intending to rent it out. Wait a minute, wait, just one second. Joe, just one second.
I want to make your comparison.
Well, wait.
He's renting, I'm saying.
Okay, I just wanted to get the punchline in. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, okay.
No, I just want to mention, so Tosfos says the following, and then the floor is yours, Joe. It all depends. If Reuven comes to Shimon, and Shimon is standing there, and Reuven says, I have rights to live in on your chatzer, you don't lose anything by it. So Tosfos says Shimon has a right to say no. This is my property. You don't have any rights to enter into my property. When do we apply Kofen al Midas Stom? Reuven already moved in. And let's say now he doesn't even live there anymore. And Shimon sues Reuven for rental, saying that you had benefits from my possessions. You were nene from my chatzer. I want you to pay that for me. That's where we say Kofen al Midas Stom. All right, Joe, good, Joe. I just wanted to know.
I'm trying to make it so that he understands. Let's assume that Shimon is renting actually a room by Reuven in another part. So he's not gaining on the electricity. He's not losing on electricity. He's not losing on the water because he's not using it over there. He's using it over here. So really, there's no chesed. He's not losing anything.
Okay.
Right? You know what I'm saying? If he's already using the electricity, using the water in another room. He's just in another.
Okay.
Room.
Okay. No, Einochinami. Again, the scenario that we're talking about has to be a case of zenene v'zelo chaser. You know, there's no chisard whatsoever. So again, let's just summarize. I'll leave it in Tosfos. Haptur mi tashlumin bezeh nenev zolom chaser u'mishum midas stom. Again, the Gemara itself, if that we started with in Baba Basra, says Omar Rabba kigon zeh kofin al midas stom, and the Gemara itself applies it to the case of Yerusha or to a case of Mechira. Tosfos is extending it to the case of Dar B'chatzer Chavero, which is Nezikin laws, and yet Tosfos is applying the principle of Kofen al Midas Stom. Admittedly, he's limiting that principle. He's telling you when it applies and when it doesn't, but conceptually, Zenene V'Zelo Chaser as a Kofen al Midas Stom halacha applies according to Tosfos, even in the laws of Nezikin of Tashlumin. And because of Kofen al Midas Stom, we can potter someone up from paying rental fees because the owner of the house loses nothing by that virtue. Now, Rabosai, do you have page 1? On the bottom, there's something called Likutei Rashi. Do you see that?
Yes.
Yeah.
So what this Likutei Rashi, which is published in the Ozva Hadar Gemaras, gathers together other comments from Rashi in different Mesechtas and Shas, not here, as we say, off in Art. And there's a Rashi here in Erevin that says, Afilu midi delo chasebe lo mahani lechavero shali shali. So it's very fascinating that Rashi in Mesechta Erevin is using the concept of shali shali to understand the concept of Kofen al Midas Stom. So we see that the Mishnah in Avos is not just a Hashkafa Mishnah, but it's related to Halacha as well. In the next line, he quotes a Rashi from a Sechta Ksuvis, and Rashi says, Zeh Nenev Zolochas Lo Hayu Osim Tova, which means that Zeh Nenev Zolochas is rooted in the fact that a person doesn't want to do a Tova for someone else. That's what we call Midas Tov. So again, if we collect all these Rashis and integrate them together, Midas Tov is really this attitude that I don't want to give anything for you, I want to make sure that you don't benefit from my possessions. And that's what Rashi calls Lo Hayu Osim Tova, they just don't want to do anything good. And add the Akedas Yitzchak to this, that was legislated into the very fabric of their legal system. Now what I'd like you to do is fast forward to Bava Kamma, which is page 2 of your Maran Makomos. This is the famous sugya of Zen Enev Ezelo Chaser, of Dar B'chatz Chavero, which is in Bava Kamma Chaf Amid Aleph, going on to Chaf Amid Beis. And the Gemara says the following, Hadar B'chatz Chavero Shalomi Daito, he packs into his friend's chatz without notifying him. Tzarech la'alos lo scharo eino tzarech. Does he have to pay for that, or does he not have to pay for it? The Gemara says the following: Hey Chidomi, what's the case? E lema b'chatz lo kaimali agra v'gavra delo avid lemegar. So there are two variables, which means there are four possible scenarios. The two variables are: number one, what's the status of this chatz? Is it a chatz that's usually rented, or it's not rented? And the second variable is, what's the status of the dar? Is he a person who normally is a gavra de kaima lagra, the avid lemegar? He pays rental, or he doesn't pay rental? What does he do? So the Gemara says the following: there are two cases on two extremes which are crystal clear, that are not part of our ibaylu. On the one extreme, we have a case which is chatzah delo kaimeli agra v'gavra delo avidu lemegar. There's no anticipation that this chatzah will bring in any dividends, will be rented, nor is there any anticipation that this dar is going to pay rental. The Gemara says that's clear beyond a shadow of a doubt. Zelo nenev v'zelo chaser. You cannot bill him for living in your chatzer. And this is where Tosfos understands that Zen Enev Ezelo Chaser is not limited as it would be in Baba Basra to the laws of Yerusha and Mechira, but applies equally to the laws of Tashlumin. And then the Gemara says the opposite extreme. What's the opposite extreme? Where it's a person is chaser, where it is kaimoli agra, the chaser is generally rented, it's ready and designated for rental, the gavra diavid lemekar. And this person gets tremendous benefit because he would have had to pay, and he was willing to pay rental fees elsewhere. Is that called zeh nenev zeh chaser? He who lives in the house is benefiting, and the other guy is losing because he could have rented it, and now somebody took it over. And then the Gemara says, so where is my issue? Lo tzricha. My issue is chatzah delo kaimeli agra v'gavra d'avid lemegar. It's zeh nenev zeh lo chaser. The person would have rented something else. But on the other hand, the owner of the chatzah would not have rented it out. So therefore the dar wants to say to the owner, I'm not going to pay you because you wouldn't have rented it anyway. You didn't lose anything by my living there. My, should we say, Matzi Omerle, the dar has a right to say the Baal Bais, my chisartich, what did you lose as a result of the fact that I took residence in your house? Oh, Dilma, should we say, Matzi Omar, the owner of the house has a right to turn to the door and say, Hois Hanes, you benefited from it, because you would have rented something else. So again, if it's a case of Zelo Nenem, Zelo Chaser, The person who is living there doesn't benefit anything financially, and the person who owns the field doesn't lose anything financially. That's called zelo nenev zelo chaser, and that's clear that you cannot force them to pay. That's called lo nenev velo chaser. But in the case of ze nenev and ze chaser, that's clear that he has to pay. Because on the one hand, the person who's living there benefits, he doesn't have to rent. And on the other hand, the person who owns the field, he owns the chatzah, would have rented it out, so he takes the loss of the money. And therefore, the two variables that incline in that kick in favor of the Baal HaBayis. Where's the suffix? The suffix is zenene vizelo chaser, where Reuven benefits from Shimon, but Shimon doesn't take any loss. And therefore, does Reuven have a right to turn to Shimon and say, you know what, my chisartich, what loss did you suffer? Or does the Baal HaChatzah have a right to say, well, you were nene, you gained something by this, you don't have to rent? And guess what? The Gemara doesn't come to any definite conclusion. The Gemara leaves this as an open-ended suffix. And this suffix is going to be the issue that's going to determine almost all the questions that I asked you and all the scenarios that we discussed at the outset of the shiur. Because if you'll fast forward for a moment to page 3, you will see the Nimuke Yosef, which is the middle tier on page 3, quoting the Ra'ah. And what does he say in the name of the Ra'ah? Okay, I'm going to try to explain the shita of the Ra'ah. The Ra'ah, quoted by the Muki Yosef, says the following: Habol ishtamish benichsei chavero. Reuven is coming to use the nechasim of Shimon. Afil shel chavero lein lo shum nezek ofro chisor and klal. Even though Shimon takes no loss whatsoever, ein kofenes chavero laseis lo ishtamish. We cannot force Shimon to offer Reuven gratis the use of his possessions.
Good.
And that's the language of the Ra'ah that you'll see it inside. It's 4 lines above the end of the paragraph. Amol ishtamish b'shalo klal lo amru. They never said kofen amidas sedom. You can't force a person to allow his possessions to be enjoyed by someone else, even if the owner is not losing a thing. There's no chisaron, there's no afra, there's no nezik whatsoever. Oh, says the Ra'ah, so when do we apply the principle of Kofen al Midas Sdom? He says, Kol adina zeh, shal kfiyo nemar v'nishne, rak biyofet sheinu bolish tamish b'shal chavero, kigon shal chavero yeshal av shibud ora, v'hu tzarech livnos sham, v'rotzo listom chalonos chavero, u'liftoach lo chalonos b'mokom acher biyofet zeh sheinu v'shtamish b'nichzei chavero kofen oso. He says that where do we apply the principle of kofen osal midas dom? That's only in the case of bal hishtamish bioro shel chavero. What does that mean? That a person has a neighbor, and because of the laws of shechinim of neighbors, Reuven is not allowed to block the light of Shimon. He can't build something that will knock off the sunlight for Shimon. But on the other hand, Reuven has to build something. And what he's going to do is, he's going to block out the light. For example, let's say Shimon has windows. And now, if Reuven builds a wall outside of Shimon's house on his own possessions, and Reuven owns the ground, but by putting up that wall, he's going to block the windows of Shimon, which means that Shimon would not enjoy the benefit of the light that comes through the windows. It says the Ra'ah, but often zeh she'eno mishtamish b'nichsei chavero. Reuven is not using; he's not living in Shimon's chatzer. He's building on his own backyard, in his karka, in such a case, kofin al midas dom. In such a case, since he's not coming to use Reuven's property, I'm sorry, Shimon's property, but he's building on his own, that's a case in which Shimon has no right to prevent Reuven from building a wall. And let's see if all the Rishonim accept this. If you take a look on the same page, on the left side in that middle column, you'll see the Mordechai. The Mordechai quotes a shita of the Avi Ezri, Shebechol ofen b'zeh nene v'zeh lo chosu kofen al midastoma afilu l'chatchila. Afilu l'chatchila. That ein balabai sechol noach avero sheikonis logor b'beso. Okay, Yechiel's not going to be excited about the Mordechai. But the question is, how are we paskin? So let's take a look on page 4 of the Maror Makomos. And again, I apologize that I'm moving at the speed of light here, but I want to try to see whatever we can possibly accomplish. And we're looking in Choshen Mishpat Simon Shin Samach Gimel. And this Simon is, I think, amongst all the Simonim in Choshen Mishpat, this is perhaps the most well-trodden Simon. You know, anyone who studies Dayanut, or anyone who has to paskin on laws of Shechedim and so forth and so on, which here in this country is Maisim B'chol Yom. You know, this Shochet wants to build here, and he wants to build on the roof, and he wants to build in such a way that he knocks off the this, and he puts up his sukkah. Hadar b'chotzeh chaver shelo midaito. He's using the possessions of his friend without permission. Sha'amar lo tsei v'lo yotza. Is chayav yilitein lo schar. If the owner of the chatzah, that means Shimon, says to Reuven, I know what you're doing over here, and therefore you have to get out. And Shimon, and despite Shimon's objections, Reuven holds his own and he refuses to move. He's going to have to pay for that. V'im lo amar lo tsei, but if he hasn't told him, get the heck out of there. Im osa chotzer eino asuya l'schar, then Reuven says, look, you never kicked me out, and it could be because you aren't aware of the fact that I was squatting in the field, but nevertheless, you didn't lose anything because it wasn't omeid l'schar. Eino tzorech lahalos lo schar. Again, this is the principle of Zen Enev Zelochaser. Correct? I benefited because I don't have to rent another place. You didn't lose anything. You aren't about to rent your place. But all this is because Reuven was there, post facto, the facts on the ground, and now Shimon wants to charge him rental fees. Says the Ramah, the Afal Pishahotzi is Bal Abayis Bal Karcho Min Abayis. Here he quotes the Mordechai. Now, again, in the Mechaber, I'm not sure that we have any proof that the Mechaber accepts the Mordechai. The Mordechai says, even Lechatchila, I can force you to allow me to live in that field. I don't know that the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch went as far as to accept the Mordechai. The Ramah quotes the Mordechai. And if we go back to the Mechaber says, "Afal pisha derech zeh hadar liska b'makom atzmo, shezeh nenev v'zelo chaser." Oh, here the Ramah says something beautiful. Says the Ramah, "V'dafka shekfar dar bo." This is Shita Satosis that we saw in Baba Basra and the Ra'ah quoted by Muki Yosef in Baba Kama. Avolo yuchal lachufo lechatchila shielichenu lidladurbo. He cannot force Shimon to allow him to move in there and live there. Afal pisha kofen al midas dom b'makom shezenen v'zelo chaser hani milui b'davar di boy lehenos lo yuchal lehenos samal hocha hai gavna di boy balachotza lehenos. He says that if the Baal HaBayis wanted to benefit from it, he could put the apartment or the chutzah on the rental market, ularviach ulahaskir chatzero, his hayyachal, no one can prevent him from putting it on the market. El Sheino wrote it, but he doesn't want to. He's ain kofino solasos bechinom. You cannot force him to allow someone to move into his field. The im hachotzer, says the Mechaber Asuya Liskar, if this chotzer is designated for rental purposes, afal pisha ein derech zel liskar, even if the person who moves in usually would not pay rental, he doesn't have the funds for that, tzorech lahalos lo schar, he has to pay. Sharei chaser mamona, because he caused a loss to the owner of the house. But if you fast forward to number Zion, he says yesh omrim kshein hachotzer omeg liska davina dieno tzorech lahalos lo schar im chasro. This was Yechiel's point from before, and Joe supported it. Afilu b'davar muat kigol shay abayis chadosh. It was a brand new apartment. V'zeh chasro b'meshech shechiro. Literally, a shechiro means he blackened the walls. In those days, they used to cook, you know, on an open flame with bellows and all that. But it really, it's symbolic of any sort of reduction. You know, you pay more, and this I can testify here in this neighborhood. You pay more for a brand new apartment than you do for a used one. That's why we're buying a used one, right? Afal pishen hefsed. Shall also shchoris elamuot, even though the loss, the devaluation of the field is only minimal, it doesn't matter. That already generates a situation of zeh chaser. The al yado, because of this chisaron, no matter what it's worth, a penny, is megalgal of kol aschar kefi mashenena. Now I can pay, demand of you, says Shimon, the full price of rental. And one last point, because I see we're running low on time. If you take a look in Sif Ches, all right, one second, before we get to Sif Ches again, I just want to summarize what we see from the Mechaber, that the Mechaber paskins that Zenene Vezelo Chaser is Potur, but Bamedvar Mamun, that's only after he actually lived there. And then if you take a look in the Sma, which is on the right side of your page, or on the top left column, the Sefer Meiras Einayim, he says, "Ein Omrim Kofen Al Midas Dom Bi Ofen Shemocha Bo Behedja." If a person makes a protest, he registers his indignation. You have no right to go into my field or into my chatzer or my bias. Then, says the Sma, there's no principle of Ein Kofen Al Midas Dom. And basically, the Sma is pointing out, as we did, that the Mechaber and the Ramah are reflecting the Sheet of Tosus and the Ra'ah against the Mardechai. But as we said before, even though Ein Kofen L'Chatchila L'Aseis L'Ladur Sham, nevertheless, the Ramah does quote the Mardechai. It's not clear to me if the Ramah actually paskins like the Mardechai, that even L'Chatchila, I can force you into Zenene Vezelo Chaser. And if you take a look at the Mechaber in Sif Ches, he writes, Yesh Omrim, Dehodi Amrin, Dekshachotzein Omid, Liskar, Ein Tzarch, Lal, Soscha, Dafke, Shlo, Gila, Adar, Bedaita, Sheh, Rotze, Sheh, Yehe, Ritzono, Liten, Lo, Schar, Im Lo, Yenichenu, Ladar, Bo, Luchatia, Gila, Daito, Kein Tzarch, Liten, Lo, Schar. If there was a discussion between the Dar and the Balabayas, in which the Dar says, you know what, I'd be willing to pay you, that's how important it is for me to live there, then in such a case, he undermines the halacha of Kofen Al Midas Dom, and he will have to pay. And if you take a look at the Sma, he says that Sharei Chasr Moment Ain't Zeh Mechshav Grom Ben Ezekin. You might ask, so who cares if the dar blackens the walls of this brand new apartment? In any event, he didn't do it directly. It was only grama. Says the Sma, Kevin Shezed Darbo V'Ochalas Kaspo, is that's not considered grama. Grama means when I do X in my own property and Y as a result causes you a loss. But if I enter into your property, into your possession, and I cause you a loss, that's considered mazik b'yadayim, and that for sure completely undermines the halacha of kofen al midas dor. And if you take a look in the Pisrei Tshuva, quotes the Nodav Yehuda, again it's a little bit small, you may need a magnifying glass, but he writes, Mashma, Shedover Sheni Yochel Arviach Bo, Yochel Zeloch Hufo Aflachat Chilo. It would seem from the Mordechai that I can force you, even Lechat Chilo, Ruvei can force Shimon's hand because Shimon doesn't lose anything, he couldn't gain anything. And perhaps even according to the Ra'ah and Tosfos, in a case where Shimon wouldn't have even had the possibility of gaining anything. Now, as until now, we've spoken about a rental situation where Shimon is not interested in renting it out. But what if there was no possibility of getting any money for it? Then there's no way of forcing Reuven to pay Hana. And he quotes the Tshuva Nodav Yehuda, who says, the Poshut Shezerach Lahagambam Avaladas HaRosh V'gambit Tshuvas V'arfnayim Yitzarchin HaRamah. So in other words, there are other shitas here in the Rush, which are quoted both by the Nodav Yehuda and the Beis Ephraim, which add another dimension to this. We're not ready for the Shitas HaRush. Until now, we've been studying the Halacha according to the Shitas HaRam. Joe, you wanted to ask something? Okay, Rabbi Hosai. So again, I can only tell you that the laws are very, very strict in both directions. In one direction about allowing a person to block someone from his using his possessions and causing him a loss, but in the other direction to alleviate anyone of payment if he doesn't cause any loss to someone else. That's called kofen al midas dom. And when Stone legislated into the very fabric of their society laws that guaranteed shali shali, and therefore no one would be allowed to give of his own possessions and share them with others, and yada ani lo echzika, says Yechezkel, that brought about a divine decision that Hashem would not tolerate the evil of Stone that had reached such proportions, and therefore Hashem decided it's time to destroy the city of Stone. Okay, Rabbi Osai, thank you very much. Next week, we can have the shiur at 8:15 on your clock, which would be 3:15 on my clock.
Yeah.
Okay, then, because if I understand correctly, this Sunday, you changed the clock. Is that right?
Yeah.
That was a paid public announcement.
Next week is we're working with your our time for changing next week.
That's what I'm saying. I think you changed the clock on Sunday. So if that be the case, then it goes back to the original 7-hour difference. And I can give the shiur at 3:15. So I didn't have to undermine my whole schedule like I did today, which is okay. I mean, okay, Rabbi Osai.
How's everybody doing over there? What's going on?
Well, there's tension in the air, and we don't know where this is going to lead. Keep us in mind, your tefillos. And I saw that the Mizrahi Bayit, I'm still on their email list, has sent out a list of shemos, of people that we should be praying for. The only problem is, it's going to double the time that it'll take you to say Shemon Esrei. I mean, unfortunately, it's a very long list. So my suggestion is that every tefillah you take a couple of names from the list, you know. And we need refuah shlema. You know, one of my neighbors who was hit very badly in the pigua in Har Nof just died on Shabbos, and the heart rendering, you know, the almanis yisomim, the levaya was in Rabbi Reuben's shul again, was just we were all hoping that he would pull through, even though it didn't look very promising. So we lost another person in the pigua, which is 5 minutes from my house. So we need a Yeshua. The Sfardo says in Parshas Vayera that Tfila could bring about Tchias HaMeisim. That's what he says. Take a look at the Sfardo in the Parsha of Leidas Yitzchak, and there he says that the whole process by which Sarah gave birth to Yitzchak, and the process by which Yitzchak survived the Akedah, is all Tchias HaMeisim. And he says that Tchias HaMeisim could be brought about through Tefillah, and that's why And that's why it's very important to appreciate the power of tefillah. So let's try to be mechazik ourselves in tefillah. Okay, Shkaya. Okay, call to good to see you. I'm gonna